So hello and welcome to our podcast summary of activities supporting consistent application. And in this podcast, we'll cover activities between October and December 2019. I'm Petrina Buchanan, a member of the ISB's technical staff, and I'm joined today by Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the Board and Chair of the Interpretations Committee. So I'm going to start today with the Interpretations Committee meeting in November, which took place on the 26th in London. Now, the committee discussed four topics and it also provided input to the board on the post-implementation review of IFRSs 10, 11 and 12 and also on the board's agenda consultation. Now, because the board will pick those topics up at a later date, I'm not going to cover the post-implementation review or the agenda consultation today. So instead, we'll focus on the four submissions to the committee that it discussed. And I'm going to start with the final agenda decision published on lease term and the useful life of leasehold improvements. Now, I think it goes without saying that this is an important agenda decision, not only because it covers two topics, and not only because one of those is on the leases standard IFRS 16, which is very close to my heart, but indeed it's because it covers the important topic of lease term. And in IFRS 16, lease term really matters. And that's because a lessee includes in its measurement of lease liabilities only payments to be made during the lease term. So when developing IFRS 16, the board developed the lease term requirements with the view that the lease term should reflect a lessee's reasonable expectation of the period during which the leased asset will be used. So Sue, maybe you could talk about the committee's discussion of the comment letters received on this topic and what conclusion was reached.
Sure. So perhaps I'll start with a reminder of what the question was that the committee was discussing. And it was all about the lease term of a lease which is cancellable or which is renewable. So for example, a lease that has an initial non-cancellable period of say 12 months, and then it runs indefinitely until either of the parties to the lease decide they want to terminate it. And for such a lease, the submitter asked about how to apply the requirements in paragraph B34 of IFRS 16 that states that a contract is no longer enforceable when each party to the contract has the right to terminate the contract without permission from the other party with no more than an insignificant penalty. And the question was really all about what is the use of the word penalty and whether penalty should be read narrowly to only include contractual termination payments or whether it should be read in a wider sense to take into account the broader economics of the lease contract. So let's try to make this a bit real. Let's say that I've leased a building from you, Petrina, for an initial 12-month period, and the lease will go on until one of us decides to cancel the lease. We can both cancel the lease without paying a penalty under the lease. But to make it a little bit more complicated, let's say that I've spent a lot on leasehold improvements, or the location or the size of the building means that it would be difficult for you, Petrina, to substitute me as a tenant. So there are real economic disincentives for either of us to cancel after 12 months. The question is whether I can treat the lease as being only for 12 months because we can walk away without paying a termination amount under the lease, or whether we have to think harder about the economic costs of terminating when you read paragraph B34. And the committee had tentatively concluded that a penalty should be read to take into account that the broader economics of the contract, and that was the tentative agenda decision that went out. Now, we got back a lot of comment letters by Interpretation Committee standards, 31 comment letters, and there was a long discussion of the points raised in those letters at the committee meeting. Ultimately, the committee voted to finalise the agenda decision, and in reaching this conclusion, importantly, the staff paper and the committee's discussion highlighted how to think about the word penalty in the context of the stated objective of the standard and the basis for conclusions. As noted in the preface to every IFRS standard, it always says you need to look at the context when you read the words in the standard. The committee discussion confirmed that a broader reading of penalty in paragraph B34 fits within the context, whereas a narrower reading would not. And in addition, because the word penalty isn't defined in IFRS 16, and the broader reading of penalty fits with the dictionary definition of penalty and the words that are used elsewhere in IFRS 16. So basically the committee agreed to finalise an agenda decision consistent with the tentative decision. Now there was also a second question in the submission which asked about the useful life of leasehold improvements and the interaction with lease terms. So again, to make it real, let's say I enter into a 5-year lease with extension options and I spend money on non-removable leasehold improvements that will last 10 years. How do I think about the useful life of the leasehold improvements when I apply IAS 16? We didn't get as many comments on this part of the tentative agenda decision, and the committee noted the link between the determination of lease term and the useful life of any non-removable leasehold improvements. And in summary, IFRS 16 requires consideration of the expected utility of significant leasehold improvements when you determine the lease term. And IAS 16 requires consideration of the expiry dates of related leases when determining the useful life of leasehold improvements. And that's all covered in the agenda decision.
Great. So that final agenda decision is now published on our website as part of IFRIC Update. Now, Sue, at the committee meeting, you refer to this agenda decision as one where entities affected may need some time to implement any necessary accounting policy change.
Yes, so readers of IFRIC Update or regular listeners to this podcast will know that since March this year, when we publish IFRIC Update, we note the board's expectation that entities would be entitled to sufficient time to implement any accounting policy change that results from an agenda decision. And I also wrote an article explaining a bit more about what our expectation is in terms of how long is sufficient, and that article's on our website. Now, looking at this agenda decision, from what we understand, many, if not most, entities wouldn't actually be affected by the agenda decision in the sense that they had already read the requirements in B34 in the way that's explained in the agenda decision. But for those that are affected, they may need to go and re-look at lease contracts and reconsider their lease term assessments, and that could take time.
Thank you, Sue. So now I'm going to move on to the two topics where the committee published tentative agenda decisions. And I'm going to start with a topic that's very popular in submissions, deferred taxes. So the question submitted here was about calculating deferred tax when the recovery of an asset gives rise to two distinct tax consequences. So let's say an entity buys an asset for 100 that it intends to use for the asset's entire life until the residual value of the asset is zero. Now the entity will pay income tax and money it makes from using the asset, but it will receive no income tax deductions. Instead, it'll receive capital gains tax deductions of 100 at the end of the asset's life. And in this fact pattern, the tax law prohibits the entity from using the capital gains tax deductions to offset taxable income from use. So in this fact pattern, the committee concluded that when there are two distinct tax consequences from the recovery of the asset, then in applying IAS 12, the entity identifies two temporary differences that reflect those distinct tax consequences. And the entity would then go on to recognise and measure deferred tax on the two temporary differences separately. Now, the second tentative agenda decision relates to the topic of player transfer fees received by a football club when it transfers a player to another football club. So Sue, can you walk us through this one?
Yeah, sure. So this question came from an actual football club, and it's really a question about presentation in the income statement. So on transferring a player, can the club present transfer fees received as revenue and the cost of bringing the player to the club as an operating cost, say cost of sales? Or is the club required to present the net gain or loss on transfer as a net amount in its income statement? And the facts are such that for the football club in question, it regularly brings young players to the club, develops them, and then transfers them to other clubs. So developing and transferring players is part of the club's ordinary activities. Obviously, that wouldn't always be the case. So what did the committee say? So first of all, the committee said that given the facts submitted, the club must present the gain or loss on transfer as a net amount. So it can't present the transfer fees received as revenue. And that's because in the fact pattern we got, the club had already recognised the right it obtained on bringing the player to the club as an intangible asset applying IAS 38. But the committee then went on to discuss whether there could be any situation in which the football club should in fact recognise the transfer fees received as revenue, and concluded that the club would do so if the right it obtained on bringing the player to the club were to meet the definition of inventory in IAS 2. Now, the committee thought typically those costs would not be inventory, but for a club whose ordinary activities include the development and transfer of players, it is conceivable that such a club might have a portfolio of rights associated with some players that are inventories, and a portfolio of rights associated with other players that are intangible assets.
Great. Thank you, Sue, and certainly evidence, I think, that the committee gets asked some varied and interesting questions. So now I'll just remind you that the committee's conclusions on deferred tax and the football transfer fees are tentative and are now out for comment for 60 days until the 14th of February.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. So we encourage you to focus on Valentine's Day and comment to us by that date if those tentative agenda decisions cover topics that are of interest to you. And I'll also just mention the reason, of course, that the committee decided to publish tentative agenda decisions on both those topics. It is because, of course, that it concluded that standard setting is not needed. And in both cases, because it concluded that the principles and requirements in the standards provide an adequate basis to determine the appropriate accounting. So in asking for comments on these tentative agenda decisions, we're really asking respondents to consider two things. The first is whether you agree with the committee's conclusion that standard setting isn't needed, and secondly, whether you agree with the technical analysis in the tentative agenda decision. Now, finally, at the committee's November meeting, the committee actually discussed a sale and leaseback question, and it was one where the leaseback payments vary based on the seller lessee's future sales. Now, we're not going to talk more about this topic now, mainly because the committee will discuss that topic again at a future meeting before deciding on next steps. So that one will come back to a future podcast. So I'm going to move on now to topics other than interpretation committee meetings. And I think it's worth mentioning some progress the board has actually made on a number of narrow scope projects that started life as a submission to the interpretations committee. And all of these projects I'm now going to mention are actually very close to being issued as final narrow scope amendments. So having considered comments received, the board has now completed its re-deliberations on its IAS 37 project that will clarify the cost of fulfilling a contract when assessing whether that contract is onerous, and also on its IAS 8 project on accounting policies and accounting estimates. It's also actually completed its re-deliberations on the annual improvements package for 2018 to 2020. And in fact, for all of those amendments, they'll have an effective date of annual periods beginning from January 2022. And the board expects to issue the final amendments to IAS 37, IAS 8 and annual improvements in the second quarter of 2020. The board's also at the moment working towards issuing final amendments to IAS 16 regarding proceeds before intended use, and also on the classification of liabilities. So for both of those narrow scope amendments, they're expected to be issued in the first quarter of 2020, and again, they'll have a January 2022 effective date. Now moving on to some other materials. In November, we published a guide to selecting and applying accounting policies that as required by IAS 8. So this guide really addresses the IAS 8 hierarchy. And we hope this guide will be helpful in what can sometimes be tricky, which is to work out which requirements to actually apply to a particular transaction. And that guide is now available on our website. And finally, I'm just going to mention the compilation of agenda decisions. So volume one of this compilation is now also available on our website. That volume one includes agenda decisions finalised in the 9 months to September 2019. And going forward, we plan to publish this type of compilation of finalised agenda decisions twice a year, in April and in October, simply as another way of trying to make agenda decisions more accessible to stakeholders. So with that, that brings our podcast to a close at the end of not only this year, but in fact, the end of a decade. So I'd like to thank Sue for her time today, and I'd like to thank you all for listening. We hope you found it useful. Please email communications@ifrs.org if you have any suggestions for improvement. So thank you and goodbye.